Welcome to the Run Nerd Library Podcast, a podcast for those who eat, sleep, breathe, train, think, talk, and read about running, and those who are curious. I'm the host, Don Hahn, a self-proclaimed run nerd. I consider myself more of a running enthusiast than an expert, fueled by coffee and blind optimism. This podcast will feature running experts talking about their books and enthusiasts like me who are here to discuss their books with them. Whether you're listening on your commute or on your run, we are happy to have you here. Welcome back to the Run Nerd Library Podcast. This episode, a special episode of the podcast, is part two of the May Mental Health Awareness episode about the book, What Made Maddie Run. In that episode, episode four, I spoke with high school English teachers Josh Wachtel and Ryan Collins about their experiences when teaching from the book What Made Maddie Run and the responses of their students. If you haven't yet listened to episode four, I encourage you to pause this episode briefly, go back and listen to episode four, and then come rejoin us. If you have already listened to that episode, thank you, and stay tuned to this episode for the content to come. Today, I'm fortunate to have with me Lanisha Nickel on the show. Lanisha is Director of Sports Psychology and Wellness for the University of Cincinnati Athletic Department. As many of you know, Cincinnati is a Division I institution, and they'll be joining the Big 12, actually on July 1st this summer. It also happens to be my alma mater. Lanisha lives by a standard of ethics and authenticity that she believes helps her connect with student-athletes. She is currently a doctoral student at Adams State University with a focus on counselor education and supervision. Lanisha, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, Don.
Could you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Specifically, what led you to your chosen profession?
So I am a child of educators, third generation educator. Both my parents were teachers for 32 and 33 years. And so very much at home in an education setting, in an academic setting, but knew I didn't want to teach. Moved into my bachelor's degree. I graduated from Texas A&M University, and my bachelor's is in psychology, and I'm just kind of looking to be a one-on-one therapist was what I really wanted to do. So I pursued graduate studies at Sam Houston State, master's in counseling, and after that I actually have a specialization in working with children and adolescents specifically as a play therapist, and so got into that, was able to be in various school settings doing one-on-one therapy, but in real time. Instead of waiting for somebody to come to an office, I was there in real time to help intervene with elementary, middle, and high school students. And did that, was in California, moved back home to Texas, but was in the Houston area and had difficulty finding an environment that I could be the therapist that I wanted to be. So I went into private practice. Mm-hmm. And had a small private practice where I did one-on-one couples, family therapy, consulting, and supervising emerging clinicians. About 5 years ago, so I have a very dear friend, Michelle Diltz, who is a strength and conditioning coach at the University of Alabama. And just kind of talking with her about my work with adolescents and emerging adults, and just kind of talking back and forth about some of the things that she's seeing her athletes go through, and kind of giving some ideas, bouncing ideas off of her of, hey, would this be helpful? Does this exist? Is this a thing? And about 5 years ago is when I made the decision to start pivoting my practice. So that's what led to applying for and getting into doctoral program, joining professional organizations, starting to network and really talk about my vision for mental health support for collegiate student athletes. And so fast forward about 2 years ago at this point, so I was finishing my second year in my doc program, first year, and talking with my husband, it's the middle of COVID, and I'm like, okay, I feel like really need to move. I had moved my private practice completely virtual. It's like, let's see what can happen here. Started applying for jobs, and got, you know, some interviews, figured some stuff out, it's like, what do I really bring to the table? Because a lot of people are like, okay, you know the population, but where's the sports come in? Well, I'm also actually a group fitness professional. So I work with people in gyms and whatnot, mm-hmm. helping them to reach their fitness goals in certain ways. And so I was like, you know, I need to marry both sides of my life and really be a whole professional, right? So that's me really fully coming into my authenticity and mm-hmm. going, this is my life. I am a helping professional in multiple ways. And so started adding that and presenting that as, you know, I help people like this. I understand physical aspects and the mental aspects of physical activity, of wanting to be your best, of competition, of mindset, of those kinds of things. Uh-huh. And UC came calling and they said, all right, we have this role and build it. Let's make it work. Yeah. Because we're listening to our student athletes and they are asking for this help. And so yeah. Let's do this. And so I uprooted from Houston and got to Cincinnati in the middle of winter and have been going full speed ahead since.
Yeah, so you got the rude awakening of a Midwest winter.
Absolutely, yeah. We don't have true winter, especially not in Houston.
Yeah.
it was very much a surprise.
Yeah, so a couple of things there. One is you essentially got to come in and take your expertise from these two facets of being someone who works with people on their physical health goals and also their mental health goals, right? And put that into a package where you're now going to help student athletes at a Division I school who were recruited to come in and be a student athlete with a lot of responsibility on the athletic side. Mm-hmm. And you get to build this program. And we're talking about just within the last couple of years, too. So it's a new program. Mm-hmm. Mental health issues are not new, as we know. That, you know, those have been gone. But the fact that universities are addressing them is really a key driver. And as we know from Maddie's own story and Kate Fagan, the author, who had some of her own mental struggles while she was an athlete, the tools that you're providing have always been necessary, and now there's an outlet for that. Mm-hmm. So in this episode, I really want to talk about a few things, and maybe this will help some student athletes, maybe it'll help some coaches along the way as well. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk with you about some of the common mental health issues that you see students facing. I say that you see students facing, not just the University of Cincinnati students, but in general what they face. Where they can go for help when it's needed, and also what else can we continue to do to help break down the stereotypes of mental illness and see the whole person, especially in a sports program where, you know, someone might be in the limelight, they might be on national television, they're in a position where they can impact the end results of a game that a lot of eyes are on. So what does that look like? So if you don't mind, and I want to give full disclosure, I'm not a former college athlete at all by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a sports enthusiast. I understand some aspects of coaching from coaching experience, but I did not, I was not recruited to play at a Division I school, nor did I play at one. So I just want to make that clear to again, on my side, be open and authentic. But I do want to take a step now and talk about some of the things that you see your student athletes come across and talk to you about. What are some of the things that trouble them?
Sure. So, I'll say myself, I was not a college student athlete either. My body broke down before we could get to that point. Mm-hmm. Soccer lover and played multiple sports. My dad was a college student athlete. And it's actually been really interesting to hear from him, his perspective of what, you know, he kind of dealt with as going in and making transitions and realizing what those things were like. And I think what's really, really interesting is that some of the things that he talks about are still issues today, right? Mm-hmm. And so in general, I'll say there are things. So when I came in January of 2022, a big part of my job is education, as well as supporting, I try to support the entire department, right? Student athletes first, uh-huh. but we're supporting the whole department. And so one of the things I talk about is this psychosocial developmental stage of emerging adulthood. So this is a concept that's come out in a early 2000s. But it talks about this unique time between 18 and about 24, 25, where you have these very specific tasks or phases that you're working to get through, and identity exploration, things are a little unstable, you're in constant transition, you're in between, you're kind of focused on yourself and figuring out who you are, but it's a huge age of possibility, right? This is the setup. This is one of the major setups of your life. And so overall in a college population, right, you've got these folks that are dealing with this. You've got people who are going far away from home who, I mean, and all of that entails. Even people who are close by, but it's not that every day that you're used to having with mom, dad, family, sibs, that kind of stuff. And so that, you know, just in a college student-aged population in general. And then for student athletes, like, you can add on the pressures, the fans, the stressors, the stereotypes, the environment, injury, identity development, the demands of a student athlete. You know, in my cohort, and just kind of talking about, because they've been with me, my doctoral cohort has been with me through this pivot in population focus, and just kind of talking to them about what all are the responsibilities of a student athlete, and they're like, we had no clue.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that, I don't think that, you know, society, general population, really understands all of these kids are really doing.
Yeah, the humanization of the student athlete. Again, like, we see them on television, but they have entire lives that last 24 hours a day, just like the rest of us, where sport is not the entirety of it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, the emerging adulthood parts, and then those parts that are unique to the student athlete experience, and you put them all in the same pot of stew, and they all just cook together. And, you know, the different flavors pop out for different folks, and we got to work to help them navigate all of those.
So there's a lot there. I mean, it is transitional for anybody that goes to college. It's a transitional period. The freedom that you experience that you've never had before, decision making that you have to take on that you're not quite an adult yet, but you have to make adult decisions and based on what you know at that point. There's definitely some challenges there. And again, not having been a college athlete, I don't know what the experience of having to work out in the morning and then the evening and make sure you're getting your homework done and attending classes, those kind of things, what that would be like. But I can imagine, even like with what you're doing right now, there's a heavy stress load of doctoral program, running a department, teaching classes, and all these other things. So, you know, there's just a lot that goes into the different challenges that we all face. So looking at your student athletes, they can come to you for help. You've got a voice for them. You've got a person that can listen to them. What kind of resources do you provide?
So initially coming in, my focus was to kind of identify those student athletes with immediate mental health needs and make sure that they are taken care of. So one-on-one counseling. I am also dually trained, so mental health and mental performance, and kind of there's a spectrum that exists there, right? So really working mental performance wise, when they're doing well and it's specifically about their sport. So also helping people get familiar with that concept and how that can be used within the department. So addressing immediate needs. Big thing for me with this was the visibility piece, right? So I'm housed in athletics, I'm embedded, I'm here every day, I go to practice, I go to games, there's a specific presentation that I have, so people know when I am coming, right? They see me. I'm very, very visible. I'm gonna have a conversation, I'm gonna walk up and ask people things, I want to know about our student athletes, about our staff, our coaches. So that was a big thing for me, was to make sure that I was visible in the department, not as just, oh, there's this office over in the corner that people go to and we don't really talk about it, it's all hush hush. No, I want it to be big. So the individual, the knowing I am a confidential resource in the department, Kind of the joke is that I'm Las Vegas, right?
Yeah.
You stay. So confidentiality was a big piece for
Right.
the student athletes as they expressed their needs to the department. And then kind of growing out, doing some psychoeducation. In the midst of all of the other things that I do, I became a mental health first aid instructor. And so my goal there is to have as many of our staff and coaches certified in mental health first aid. And we can talk a little bit more about that because I think that goes
Yeah.
into some other things that, putting on mental health first aid courses for our department throughout the year, doing other psychoed workshops and things like that. I was fortunate enough to be able to hire a second clinician, and then I'm in the process of hiring a third. So that's helping me because there are 450
Yeah.
student athletes.
Yeah, wow.
And while not everybody needs direct one-on-one care, this is going to help our department as a whole be able to offer more workshops, more education courses to kind of poll our student athletes and really get their input on what's going on, to offer some group therapy, to get into, you know, education both at the staff level and the student athlete level, to you know, have some mental health weeks and mental health games, right? And so just
Mm-hmm.
to expand further outside of what I can do, what I was able to do as just one person. So growing rapidly, very thankful for a department that supports my vision and my goals. And we're gonna kick off the fall with a full set and ready to move.
That's excellent. It's good to see that kind of growth within your department. And while, you know, out of the 450 athletes you service, there's going to maybe be a variety of things. You mentioned the performance mindset and that aspect of it, as well as the mental health aspect of it. And I think the latest national numbers I saw were about 30% of female collegiate athletes suffer from anxiety, maybe depression, eating disorders, that sort of thing, and 25% of male athletes. So even within your population of 450 student athletes, if that number holds true, you've got a lot of folks that need that help. And so you mentioned, like, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they can trust you, that you're Vegas, whatever said there stays there. But that's important because, you know, in athletic culture, it's not necessarily easy to open up when you're feeling vulnerable or weak, right? So how has that part of it been for you and for the student athletes to get people to feel comfortable that they can open up and come talk to you?
I think it's the exposure, right?
Yeah.
I'd say for this digital native generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Topics that are all over TikTok right now, right? I think right now there's an ashwagandha kick going on TikTok wise. So the topic is not necessarily that big of a deal. Seeking
mm-hmm.
out help, understanding what that looks like, can be a little different. So again, that's why I was like, you've had a conversation with me in the hallway. So it's not weird.
Yeah.
Right? You've seen
yeah.
me at practice. You've seen coach talk to me. You've seen your trainer talk to me. Like, this is not a weird thing. And so sometimes my introduction or their introduction to engaging with a therapist is a hallway conversation.
Yeah.
To go, oh, okay, that wasn't so bad. Maybe I can go do that. So the visibility, the authenticity,
mm-hmm.
the frequency, because, you know, if you think about how they might have had experience with a mental health professional, say, in their high school, right,
mm-hmm.
with their grade level counselor who has all these folks and they could see him maybe once or twice, but it might not even be somebody that they could identify as the counselor in their school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, hey, I know who I can go to, right? And
yeah.
a part of that's happened also is maybe one student athlete is like, no, I'm not sure, but their teammate is. And so their
mm-hmm.
teammate's talking to him about, hey, we just talked to her in the training room. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'll go with you.
And that's important because that gets to that third piece that we wanted to talk about, which is sort of taking away the negative stereotypes of mental health issues. Widely known athletes, highly decorated athletes coming out and saying, hey, I was affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
It normalizes it to a degree. And again, within athletic culture, maybe there's still some hesitation. But as you pointed out, there's social media where TikTok, Instagram, things become, in a sense, more normalized too, because you can see a broader spectrum of people that are reporting on it. If you look at enough posts on a specific topic, then all of a sudden your feed has those coming in, and there's some helpful tools there too, and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes maybe not as much, and then there's the other side of social media where you can kind of mask what's going on, and sure. you're the smile every time you take a picture and post that. So there's definitely two edges to that. What do you think? What are some of the other things we can do to break down that stereotype within sport, at any level, from youth to middle school, high school, and on to college?
So a kick, and it's a great question, a kick that I'm on right now, especially for our Division I athletes, our elite level. These are people mm-hmm. who have specialized in their sport for years, right? And so I talk about spending all of this time taking care of yourself from the neck down. Right, you're making sure that physically you are in peak shape as much as you can. You are very much focused on that. That is a high priority. How much time do you spend taking care of yourself from the neck up? Mm-hmm. And really, really pushing on that. So in thinking about the supporting cast, right? If we put it as student athlete in the middle and we're supporting around, it is honoring all of their identities, right? All of the pieces of them. So it's not just, hey, you had a great game, or student athlete wise, hey, what do your grades look like? Hey, what are you doing for fun? Hey, what's your community look like? Have you built a community since moving to a new school, a new state mm-hmm. sometimes where you don't have that? Where are your supports? What are your coping mechanisms? What do you know to do? Hey, step outside of yourself. If you notice somebody's isolating, right, to pull them out of that. So to say, if you look on mentalhealthfirstaid.org, you can find a mental health first aid course. I'm an instructor. I can come out and teach a course. I highly encourage, and it's very much like CPR first aid, right? So it's for mm-hmm. community members to learn to recognize, identify the signs and symptoms, and then you practice and have how to have these hard conversations sometimes. So I know we were talking before kind of a little bit about, you know, how do I approach this 16-year-old person about that? Mental health first aid, the course gives you the opportunity to practice, to get input on how, what do I even say? And sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, are you okay? I've noticed you're a little different lately. Mm-hmm. And I think as kind of outsiders looking in, we put this pressure on ourselves to say the exact right thing and to do the exact right thing, and that's just not the case. Right, mm-hmm. just showing that you care, just having that relationship is so much more impactful than saying or doing the right thing, because you can always course correct if you say the wrong thing.
Right.
It's right. That relationship. You have that relationship, you're bringing it out into the open. Hey, I know, I care, how can I help? If I can't help you, I'll find you a way to help. I also want to rewind and shout out Campus CAPS, our counseling and psychological services at UC. Mm-hmm. That's also a resource that I give to our student athletes. All right, if you don't want to talk to us in-house, hey, they're over here. Please go talk to somebody, mm-hmm. right? So knowing the resources that are available in your area. So if it's a club team, right, you're working with middle schoolers or high schoolers, know the resources, right? There yeah. are all sorts of professionals available that work with your specific age population, that work with your specific sport population. Like, just have your list ready.
For sure. Yeah. So the mental health first aid course, mm-hmm. definitely something that I will link out to for anybody listening that wants to check it out. Definitely worth looking into. And if you're working with student athletes, pretty much working with anybody, it sounds like it could be a beneficial tool for just the general population as well. Yeah. So that also would be a resource that would be helpful to a coach, right? So you think about coaches at all levels. They might be some of the first people that notice changes in their athletes. Mm-hmm. Within the season, from season to season, You know, sometimes parents, family members, changes are gradual, so you don't necessarily see them when you see the person every day. Mm-hmm. But when there's a span of time, you might pick up on and recognize other things. So what are some of the things that you feel like for coaches, like, what should they be looking for? What kind of awareness do they need to have?
Know your players.
Mm-hmm.
I think some things that are really, really important are you know, to get a little education on developmental level, academically, socially. If you're working with middle schoolers and expecting them to be able to structure themselves fully, that's not necessarily very realistic, and that's a very extreme, you know, kind of exaggerative example. But to say developmental levels are very, very important when you are working with adolescents and emerging adults, and knowing what's even within the realm of possibility for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's not to say, you know, that's not to overgeneralize, and to say to be mindful of, right? If we're thinking about the prefrontal cortex, the decision-making part of your brain, and how we're talking 26, truly, for that to be fully developed. So I would always tell parents in my private practice, I'm like, you know, they're so ungrateful. Okay, give it some time. You're going to get that phone call. 25, 26. Oh, yeah, hey, I understand what you mean.
I was listening the whole time. I just didn't get it. And my wife would tell you, I'm 47. It still hasn't fully developed for me yet.
I mean, so. Sometimes for some of us, it takes a little bit of time. But yeah, for coaches to educate, to be aware of those things.
Yeah.
When you notice, especially if you have that relationship with your players, right? If you have an assistant coach that has a better relationship, right? Mention it to them. Hey, do you mind talking to them? I'm kind of concerned. If you're comfortable, hey, I'm concerned. Is everything okay? Yeah, coach, I'm okay. Okay, are you sure? Because I've noticed XYZ, and it's different for you. If you're not comfortable talking to me, so this is a big point, it's got to be okay that they're not comfortable talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be okay to send them on to somebody else, right? Because the focus is getting the mental health help that they need, not that, oh, I'm their favorite and they're going to talk to me.
Right.
So, you know, making sure you have the relationship, letting them know that you care, having those open conversations, being consistent, right? So if you're going to tell your team, hey, you're going to have 3 mental health days this season where you can call me, and if you say, hey, coach, I'm not coming to practice, I don't have it, that's okay, and you're not going to ask, and it's not going to be a big deal, and they're not going to have to make things up. Like, be consistent in that regard, and don't just play it. And calibrate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have somebody to consult with. Hey, I'm seeing it this way. Is this real, or am I making it up? Am I being too hard? Am I being too soft, right? We don't have to take all of this stuff on individually.
And I
think those are, I'd say, the main points right now.
And that's great advice, because everybody has their specialty areas.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've talked about, recognizing some of these things taking place with your athletes might not be something that they do. Knowing what to do when they do recognize it might not be something, but maybe there's somebody else on the coaching staff that's gone through it themselves, or has coached through another athlete through it, and being able to reach out to your network and getting the right people involved.
Yeah, and I want to be clear, I'm not saying go and, you know, give out somebody's personal information or
Absolutely.
Break any confidentiality that you have. But you can ask about scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need help. I'm trying to help this person with XYZ. What should I do? Not what they're going through. How can I help them? They're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
What are my options? They're in this age range, kind of a thing. So,
that's good advice. Excellent. So within a Division I collegiate athletic department, where do those lines lie for? Who's responsible really for making sure that those issues are getting addressed with the player? Coaching staff, the player themselves, someone within your department, team effort, whoever notices it?
I'd say it's very much a team effort, not coming in trying to exclude, because, you know, for a lot of departments, when you don't have a mental health, a sports psych professional in-house, they have taken on some things historically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, your athletic trainers, they know things, they've experienced things. Coaches, assistant coaches, they know things, they've experienced things. So going back to kind of that educational piece of going, hey, whenever your spidey sense starts to tingle that, hey, wait, this might be a little too far for me, now you have this resource that you can send them to. So I think it's an overall effort. And I definitely say here at UC, what we've built is that student athletes can self-refer.
Good. Okay.
So we don't have to go through anybody.
Kate Fagan talked about that as well. Her trainer was actually the person who helped her get the assistance she needed while she was a college athlete.
Mm-hmm.
She was having issues with attending practice and feeling anxiety, and so she was making up excuses about being hurt or sick, and it was recognized by the trainer who said, you know, I'll take care of talking to the coach about this. Mm-hmm. You go talk to this mental health provider. And so those kind of things, you know, it's great to see programs like yours. And it was nice to see Travis Kelce, his endowment for the program, and obviously University of Cincinnati grad, multiple time Super Bowl champion. But the way that brings positive news cycle to mental health awareness for athletes and things like that. Can you talk at all about what that means for you?
Well, I mean, in a very concrete way, what that's meant is that I'm able to expand my department.
Mm-hmm.
Just being very, very, you know, straight up about that. That's allowing us as an athletics department to provide more services to our student athletes. So a fantastic thing. That was pretty great day for me in the department to go, oh wow, okay, so, you know, moving my plans forward, you know, a year or so to go, all right, let's roll, we can move into this next phase of what sports psych and wellness at UC looks like. So, you know, extremely helpful, because that's another thing, right? It's athletics, and so everybody, we have to have the funding,
right? Absolutely.
And so, you know, where do we get that from, and how do we then use it to the best of our abilities and make sure that it's being used effectively. Mm-hmm. And so that's been huge for our department.
And it's certainly nice to see that Travis Kelce recognized the need and was there to help support his university that way. We may not like the way that things ended up with the Bengals and the Chiefs in the playoffs, but we still love our guys, right? So and our ladies, so
that's the pros, and he's very
absolutely
much into his alma mater, and so appreciative of that. And you know, it speaks to the department as a whole, I'd say, historically, right? When you have people who are conscious of and wanting to give back, that, you know, the continued growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Impactful enough to have that on him so that he wants to continue to impact the department for student athletes of the future. It's amazing.
And then have that legacy going forward. I feel like we could talk for hours and hours. I did ask you for a short window of time, and I want to be respectful of Let me ask you, what's next on the list for you? You've got obviously you'll be finishing your PhD program next year. What else is on your plate? What else are you working on?
What else am I working on? Like I mentioned earlier, we are kind of working on our calendar for the department and what we want to offer. Oh my gosh, was that a Whataburger cup?
It is. For the listeners, I'm drinking water out of a Whataburger cup, which is a big hamburger chain in Texas. Full circle to your intro when you said you grew up in Houston.
Grew up actually in West Texas, way out in the middle of
West
nowhere.
Okay.
I cannot claim Houston as a true Houstonite. So our department, we are, you know, coming up with our calendar for what we want to be sure to have available for our student athletes in the upcoming year. For me, really focused on, you know, cranking out this dissertation and getting it done. And then after that, I am a lifelong learner, and so I'll figure out what to get into next after that. Might take a little break.
I think you've earned it.
You know, just developing the department and supporting our student athletes. I mean, Big 12, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
And being able to cheer them on and teach them a little bit about Big 12 rivalries and what to say, because when I was at A&M, A&M was still in the Big 12, so have a little knowledge there.
Little insider info for them.
Little info there, and just really looking forward to continuing to grow with the department and move forward.
That's fantastic, and glad that your department is there and the good work that you're doing. So thank you again for taking time to talk with us today. And if anybody wanted to look you up on the internet, where would they find your social media or anything about your department?
Not a lot of social media out there on me. That comes from my private practice days.
Okay.
So I'd say the best place to find me would be on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Information up on the department website as far as contact info there. I would say those are the two biggest spaces that you'll find me. Everything else is pretty locked down.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I will be dropping you a LinkedIn invitation in just a short order here.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. It's been great talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for asking me on. Mental health advocacy is high on my list, so anytime I have a chance, I try to jump on it.
Thank you for listening to Episode 7 of the Run Nerd Library Podcast. Today, my guest was Lanisha Nickel from the University of Cincinnati Sports Psychology and Wellness Department. If you're looking for any of the resources that we talked about today, you can find them directly at mentalhealthfirstaid.org. That's mentalhealthfirstaid.org. That's the course that Lanisha was referring to. For high school coaches, NFHS also offers an online course for mental health awareness for coaches when you're working with student athletes. I've recently completed the course, and you will be able to see a copy of my credential in the Instagram post when I release this episode. You might have also noticed, if you're a longtime listener, that there's a new intro and transition music. I'd like to give a shout out to Noah Flynn, who wrote and edited and recorded that music clip. Nice little jazz riff. The song is called Run, Read, Repeat. What else would it be called, folks? I hope you enjoyed it, and look for a link out to Noah's Instagram account also in the notes. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you next time on the Run Nerd Library Podcast.